Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today we've moved on to day 15, which is significant because we're into week 3, where we're going to learn more about the offering to merciful love and dive in more deeply to the actual consecration that Therese made and that is our end and goal of this whole preparation. So let's pray, and then we'll dive in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before this day 15, there is a little prefatory note that I thought would be good to read together. He says this: 9 months after Saint Therese discovered her little way, something happened that catapulted her far along its path. It was June 9th, 1895, Trinity Sunday. During Mass, the young nun received the inspiration and a burning desire to offer herself to merciful love. Immediately afterwards, she went to her sister Pauline, Mother Agnes, who was prioress at the time, and asked permission to make the offering. Mother Agnes recalled the occasion during an interview. Quote, "When she asked me to do this, her face was all lit up as if she were on fire with love. I let her do it," end quote. Next, when asked if Therese had made the offering just once and forgotten about it, Mother Agnes replied, quote, "Oh no, never. She constantly repeated it, and her whole life revolved around it. On her deathbed, she said it to me one day, 'I often repeat my act of consecration,'" end quote. What is this offering to merciful love, this consecration to divine mercy around which Therese's whole life revolved? That's what we're going to explore this week. Day 15, what it's not. Probably the best way to begin to understand the offering to merciful love is to contrast it with what it's not. Recall that in the France of Therese's day, the heresy of Jansenism had a deep influence on Catholic spirituality. Well, Therese's own Lisieux convent certainly felt its effects. That's largely because of a popular and terribly rigorous book on Carmelite spirituality called The Treasure of Carmel. Among other things, the book asserts that every Carmelite should offer herself as a victim soul to God's justice. And several nuns from the Lisieux convent did just that. All right, so what did that offering mean? Let me begin to answer by introducing you to Sister Marie of Jesus, a Carmelite nun from Luçon, France. Sister Marie died in the spring of 1895, and her obituary arrived at the Lisieux convent on June 8th, where it was read aloud in the refectory, probably that same day. The next day, June 9th, Therese received the inspiration to make her offering to merciful love. Did Sister Marie's obituary have an influence on Therese? It seems that it did, and the reason should become clear as we proceed. First, according to the obituary, Sister Marie very often offered herself as a victim to divine justice. Therese would have duly noted those last words. Second, it's clear from the obituary that Sister Marie had fallen under the influence of Jansenism, as we can tell from some of her anxious last words. Quote, "I don't have enough merits. I must acquire more of them," end quote. Those words would have made an impression on the saint of the little way, who did not want to lay up merits for heaven but wanted to work for love alone. Finally, the obituary also includes the following statement from Sister Marie, which she uttered in the midst of her mortal agony. Quote, "I am bearing the harshness of divine justice, divine justice, divine justice," end quote. So what's going on here? Well, basically, to offer oneself as a victim soul to God's justice, as Sister Marie did, is to make a sort of deal with the Lord, a deal that would go something like this. Lord, please give to me all the punishment that's due to sinners, and then give to sinners the blessings I would normally receive as a faithful religious. Perhaps surprisingly, the Lord would take people up on such an offer, specifically like Sister Marie of Jesus. They would often come down with some illness that would cause terrible suffering and an agonizing death. Therese had often heard of such victim souls to God's justice, and she was deeply impressed with their generosity. Now, of course, the little bird with the eyes and heart of an eagle also wanted to be generous with the Lord. Nevertheless, probably with Sister Marie in mind, she wrote the following. Quote, "I was thinking about the souls who offer themselves as victims of God's justice in order to turn away the punishments reserved to sinners, drawing them upon themselves. This offering seemed great and very generous to me, but I was far from feeling attracted to making it." End quote. After reading these lines, one can almost hear the sighs of relief from all little souls. Thankfully, Therese was very much attracted to another kind of offering, the offering to merciful love. We'll look at what that is tomorrow. For now, we can reflect on the refreshing perspective from which the saint of Lisieux approached the idea of offering herself as a spiritual victim. Quote, "How good is the Lord! His mercy endures forever. It seems to me that if all creatures had received the same grace as I received, God would be feared by none, but would be loved to the point of folly. And through love, not through fear, no one would ever consent to cause him any pain. I understand, however, that all souls cannot be the same, that it is necessary there be different types in order to honor each of God's perfections in a particular way. To me, he has granted his infinite mercy, and through it I contemplate and adore the other divine perfections. All of these perfections appear to be resplendent with love, even his justice, and perhaps this even more so than the others, seems to me clothed in love. What a sweet joy it is to think that God is just. In other words, that he takes into account our weakness, that he is perfectly aware of our fragile nature. What should I fear then?" End quote. Clearly, Therese's path is one of mercy and not justice. In fact, she even sees God's justice through the lens of mercy, a lens that transforms the harshness of divine justice, as Sister Marie of Jesus had put it, into a justice that's clothed in love. Moved by this merciful perspective, Therese comes up with the spiritual victimhood that's based on mercy, not justice, on love and not fear, on tenderness and not severity. Indeed, her offering is well suited for the little souls who long to attain the heights of holiness, but who are too little to climb the rough stairway of perfection, too little to take the path of fear and harsh justice. Thank God for Saint Therese. Thank God that she discovered a way of spiritual victimhood that not only allows even little souls to be generous, but also sets them on fire with love. We'll learn more about that tomorrow. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, fill me with merciful love, so that through it I may see all of God's perfections, including his justice, as clothed in love. All right, there we are. That is what it's not. And by saying what it's not, it speaks a lot to what it will be or prepares the way. So, a couple comments on it. This powerful contrast of her consecration to merciful love versus the consecration to justice. Let's first start just with that prefatory note by Father Gately, pointing out that Mother Agnes said that she constantly repeated this consecration. Her whole life revolved around it. That's just an amazing thing to appreciate. You know, it's impossible to reduce any single person to, like, yeah, one thing, one aspect. And yet, to, yeah, I guess I want to say, like, just to, like, appreciate Therese in the beautiful way that she was very simple, lowly, humble, that this prayer would have really formed her heart as an expression of her love and her desire, but also a way to form who she was in her relationship with God. And that, to me, just to share personally, gets me really excited to be able to dive in more to this prayer, to be able to come to know Therese more fully, and through Therese's heart, to come to know, yeah, more powerfully, more tenderly, who God is and all of his attributes. So, yeah, let's look at this Sister Marie of Jesus, this Carmelite nun who kind of is put forward as the embodiment of a consecration to God's justice, his divine justice. It seems kind of crazy, doesn't it? But there's enough in sacred scripture that might lend one to go this way, to appreciate an overemphasis on this justice. Because God is just. We don't want to say that he's not. We need to hold up that he is perfectly just. He gives to each one his due. And so to appreciate that because of sin, there is a real rupture in that relationship, and there are real consequences to sin and to breaking the very fabric of our relationship with God, the fabric of reality. And so in God's justice, he actually allows us to feel the effects of our actions. And this is merciful as well, to be able to, right? Because it's actually not loving to be unjust. Justice is actually a core foundation for love itself, because justice is able to be in truth, to be able to see who the person is, and to be able to call them to a real reconciliation, a real embrace of who they are, what they've done, and how they can respond properly. And so, yeah, to be able to think about Carmelites trying to be victims, that, okay, the punishments, the consequences that should be going to the rest of the world, we'll live this penitential life and take them on ourselves. And then the different blessings that should go to us because of our own faithfulness, we'll ask God to attribute those blessings to the sinners of the world, that they might be not just blessed, but truly saved. It's incredibly heroic. And looking at the ways of the Carmelites and their penitential life, it just inspires in me an even greater generosity with the Lord. But we see the problem with this. It focuses on the harshness of God, and what Therese is then, to her own admission, not attracted to, is to only see the harshness of God's justice, as opposed to his incredible generosity, his tenderness, his compassion, his pity. And so, I don't know, maybe one more comment on this. This might seem just like kind of silly, kind of crazy. Sometimes we talk like this. If there's someone in our lives that, someone in our lives, or maybe something that happens in our own life where, yeah, we're just really suffering. And sometimes we just, take this on as like, oh, this is because of my sin. This is because of my past, or what's being attributed to somebody else, like what someone else is going through, suffering. Maybe it's a diagnosis. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. It's like, maybe that was because of what I did, or maybe that was my own faults and my own failures. And we start to see God in this way only of divine justice, that someone's going to have to pay for this. And if you don't accept it, then I'm going to like put it on to somebody else. And this is a really sad misrepresentation of who God is, and that God is not vengeful, wrathful, looking to have someone just satisfy his anger of the offense or of the sin. So if that's in our mindset at all, let's pray right now. Lord, help me to be free of this misrepresentation of who you are. Help me to be healed of a way of seeing you as perhaps wrathful, angry, perhaps one who just looks to get even or to settle the score. Lord, we know that we have been incredibly unfaithful, that we have fallen short of our baptismal vows and have not responded as generously as we ought to. All the incredible graces that you've given us, set us free, Lord God, that we might see you for who you are, as a true good father, not as an angry tyrant. It's a good father, always looking to meet us, welcome us, receive us, and reconcile us to you and the most sacred heart of Jesus. Therese, thinking about her community receiving this letter from this Sister Marie of Jesus, making an offering to divine justice, and the next day composing this beautiful consecration to merciful love. Here's what spoke to me. This is the main quote on page 71. It seems to me that if all creatures had received the same grace as I received, God would be feared by none, but would be loved to the point of folly, and through love, not through fear, no one would ever consent to cause him any pain. I would underline that, highlight that. That is just an incredible insight, and like, talk about the littleness of Therese, but also her great confidence in who God is. This is so beautiful that she recognizes just how much the Lord has poured out incredible graces upon her. And to be able to, like Therese saying, I want you to know this God. I want you to know the God who is so good, who is so generous, who is so faithful, who is so loving, who is so compassionate, kind, present. If you just knew a little bit of that, you would instantly fall in love. She said, to the point of folly. Your heart would be so captivated that you couldn't even consider sinning or consider falling away, because you would come to know what nothing else can compare to. This love, this goodness, this faithfulness, this kindness, this joy, this utter mercy that is incomparable. And so, yeah, this is the way of love. And it's not like, how do we get people to stop sinning? Maybe if we scare them about hell, then they'll really stop sinning. Therese is like, what if you tell them about how loving and good he is? And that will actually be what transforms the heart. And so, yeah, let's pray for that, huh? Like, I want to see you, God, for who you are. And I want to know your goodness and your generosity and your faithfulness and your abundant, abundant tenderness, such that my heart can be completely captivated, that nothing else will distract me or keep me from a full, wholehearted response to who you are. This is the God we want to know, and this is the God that we want to respond to. And that to come to know this is to come to know the heart of our Father. And that then every other attribute that he does have, we can see it, says St. Therese, as clothed in love, right? That even his justice, and this is incredible that she was able to reconcile these things, a consecration to divine justice, that she's able to see from her own knowledge of the reality, the depths of who God is and his goodness, she's able to not be sidetracked by this heresy, but be brought into a confidence that even his justice is so imbued with his love and is truly an act of mercy. And so, yeah, what a sweet joy it is to think that God is just. Is that a joy for us, to think about all of the different attributes of God, and to be able to find joy in it, to allow them all to be clothed in love. This is seeing God for who he is. So a joy to think that God is just, because that means he takes into account our weakness and he is perfectly aware of our fragile nature. What should I fear then? So do you see Therese's confidence that if God is really just, then out of that heart of love in his justice, seeing just how little, poor, humble I am, he cannot help but be able to give me everything else besides. Because I'm so incapable of responding to anything more. He sees how little, how incapable I am. And because of that, he's able to give me the full weight of the reward, the full weight of the inheritance. And that, as Therese loves her littleness, loves her poverty, is able to then love and rejoice in God's justice, that's able to bless that, for that's who she is, and that's who she knows God to be. So that's where we can close today and really pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, fill me with merciful love, so that through it I may see all of God's perfections, including his justice, as clothed in love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Good to be with you. Let's stay strong. Let's keep going day by day, moment by moment, meditating, reflecting on these realities, asking God to unleash that fire of his love in our hearts, and that we might make this consecration worthily in just a little over 2 weeks. We'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.